moratorium on senior executive service appointments will come when the head of your agency leaves. That could essentially impose a hiring freeze on the very top level of your agency. Jerry Buchholz is a strategic business development advisor at FMP Consulting, former chief human capital officer at NASA, and she has a five-step plan on federalnewsradio.com to help you minimize the impact of that moratorium. Jerry, thanks for coming on today. Congratulations on your transition from NASA to FMP. It's great to talk to you for the first time, and your piece is one of our top stories on federalnewsradio.com. How does this moratorium come about, and is it something that your colleagues in the chief human capital officer community should see coming? Thanks for your time today, Jerry.
Well, thank you so much, Francis, for having me on, and thank you also for your well wishes. It is a big transition to retire from the federal government after more than 30 years of service, and I'm having a marvelous time. I find that, you know, having the opportunity to help a whole bunch of different agencies instead of just the one that you're working for is a really interesting and exciting thing. On moratorium is a legal requirement that we find in the U.S. Code. And generally, it happens in one of two scenarios. Either when your head of agency announces their departure, they don't actually have to have departed, or at the change of administration when the new president is coming on board and the current administration asks for the resignations of all their senior officials. And at that point, OPM will impose a government-wide moratorium. This brings all hiring of new people into the federal government at the SES level to a halt.
And so that moratorium requires, there's going to be churn, obviously, through a transition process, whether it's within one agency or across the entire government. And that churn requires what exactly on the part of chief human capital officers? Because the mission continues, as you point out in this piece on federalnewsradio.com, even though some of the people who are most critical to executing that mission are either leaving or frozen in place.
That's why advanced planning and making sure that you're thinking about this now is so important. And one of the things that we did about a year ago at NASA was we laid out a timeline of when moratorium would hit, and we figured out, you know, how many potential future executives and what did our succession planning look like for our executives. And we sorted out what our strategy was going to be so that the career leaders of our agency would be able to successfully manage the agency through the transition period. Because NASA isn't a large department like many, many agencies of the federal government, we knew that it would be a longer period of time that we would be without a head of agency. And the longer that that goes on, the more difficult it can be to have executives in your most senior position. So we wanted to make sure that we did the things that are described in my article to make sure that we did manage through that transition really, really well. And when we handed over the agency to its new leader, we were handing over a strong, robust, well-managed agency so that the new head of agency wouldn't have to come in and fix a bunch of things that had sort of atrophied during the period of transition.
All right, you've got five steps in this piece, and as I mentioned, they're all up on federalnewsradio.com. The first step is manage your SES positions in the time of your HR office's executive resources people wisely. Where does that time and where do those positions get, maybe wasted is too strong a word, but underutilized?
One of the things that's really interesting about an HR office is they generally have a date order received methodology for managing work, meaning the things come in a particular order and they are worked in that particular order. You may have positions in your agency that are higher priority for you that you know are going to require broad outside search in order for you to fill that position. And what you may want to do is use a different prioritization method and move those positions up to the top of your HR office's executive resources team, because you know that it's going to take a longer period of time to work those positions. So I think that that is really key. The second thing is make sure that you aren't asking for a bunch of nice-to-haves during this period, and that you really are prioritizing the time of the people who are working executive resources for you really well, so that they have the time that they need in order to manage all of this. And also remember that it's your executive resources team that really carry the heavy load for the transition team, because that's the kind of information that that transition team is looking for. So when the transition team arrives, they are going to be all hands on deck, and they're going to have a harder time managing the day-to-day executive resources of your agency.
The second step you propose is that this October, and you emphasize, yes, I mean 2015, during your SES performance conversations, explain how transition impacts the SES and ask people about their plans. What if they don't know? What if they're, you know, in this retirement wave that we keep hearing about, and they're not sure what they're going to do between now and the end of 2017?
So I don't know is still an answer. And I don't know is not yes. And that's what you need to remember, is you just have to understand where people are. So I was doing all this planning for NASA. I made the decision to depart. My successor came on board. My successor will have 18 months to be in her role prior to the change of administration. This morning, Jason was talking about Larry Sweet. I can neither confirm nor deny that I knew Larry Sweet was leaving. However, I will tell you that all of this was a part of an ongoing conversation that we were having at NASA about people's plans, where they were planning to be for the remainder of this administration and going into the next administration, and helping people think through what might their plans be. What were they thinking about? Is it time to start solidifying those plans, and how can the agency help people do that? So just having those conversations, understanding where people might be, and of course, some people are going to say, I really don't know, or I'm not prepared to talk about this. And that's great, and that's fine. But understanding better how you can keep all of the ducks lined up in their rows can be really, really helpful.
We just have a couple of minutes left. The third item on your list, Jerry, is to wrap up your SES career development program no later than September 2017 and get those candidates through a QRB. Just quickly, what's a QRB?
So a QRB is the Quality Review Board at the U.S. Office of Personnel Management. Every SES candidate that you select who's not currently a career member of the Senior Executive Service has to go through a QRB at OPM. When government-wide moratorium hits, OPM will shut that QRB down. And so even if you have candidates who have completed their SES career development program, completed all of their requirements, if they have not been certified by that QRB, you will not be able to appoint them to SES positions. So what you can do now is make sure that all of those candidates in your SES career development program have completed all of their requirements and get them through a QRB sooner rather than later. That gives you a nice, robust pool of new talent that you can appoint into those SES positions in your agency.
The fourth item is to think about your SES retirees and other alumni. Why is it important to keep that network going once they're already gone?
It can be a great thing to bring a retiree back in order to fill a slot in the interim. So if you are in a situation where you cannot fill a position, bringing somebody back who was a career member of the Senior Executive Service for a period of time to help out during the transition can be a great idea. Why it's important to stay in touch with them is they need to be up to date with what's going on in your with your mission, and you want to make sure that they are in touch with everybody they need to be in touch with.
And the last item on your list is consider incentivizing SES to retire in the spring of 16 through an early out window. That's in order to make them kind of decide that I don't know that we talked about in the second item on your list, isn't it?
What the interesting thing about setting up an early out window, I don't know any federal agency that isn't looking at restructuring their SES or restructuring the balance between their SES, their senior levels, and their scientific and technicals. So the idea here is that by opening up that conversation and talking about that broadly across the agency, it gives people that aha moment. I will tell you that that's what happened to me. I was sitting at my desk. I was working away. I got an email from myself, and I opened it up, and it told me that I was eligible for an early retirement. I hadn't even thought about that. I was so busy setting this up for everybody else that I hadn't contemplated what all this work was I was doing meant for me. So it can really help just open up that conversation in your agency because it makes people think.
Jerry, nothing like a firsthand story to drive a point home. I appreciate your time today. It's a great piece on federalnewsradio.com. Thanks for writing it, and thanks for being on to talk about it today.
Thank you so much, Francis. It's great to talk to you.